I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about desires. There's a lot in the Bible about both good desires and evil desires, and looking at the path that each of us take them on. Good desires lead to life, evil desires lead to death. We're going to see this path or progression that they go through. But let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. It will take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion messages is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a two-minute long prayer, mostly a scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a few minutes to get still and to listen, to examine ourselves, and to plan our upcoming day with God. And then that leads us into our time of communion. It serves as a time to get our minds positioned, get ready to go as we lead into our time of communion. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but most importantly, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's go through the other half of prayer here. The first thing we want to do is let's get our minds positioned on the light. God's released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light. So let's focus on what's going well. Over the last 24 hours, what were your wins, your testimonies, ways you're seeing God coming through? What are the things you got done? What are the things that you are grateful for? Let's position our minds on these things first. And if you want to track along with us, if you go to our website on the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com, on the free tools and resources page, you'll find some more information on this 30-day prayer challenge, along with the tracker that you can use for this other half of prayer as well. Next question. How are your levels of just overflowing peace over the last 24 hours? And remember, emotions are indicators. Emotions are indicators letting us know how we're doing, giving us feedback of when we can make some adjustments in our heart. And so how is your level of overflowing peace? Remember, God has given us his peace as this gift, and it's either flowing in our lives or it's not. It's either on and flowing or it's not. And peace, I like to think of as my indicator that I'm focused on the things above, that I'm single-minded. I'm in faith, and I have single-minded focus that God is with me. He's for me. I have his blessing and favor on my life. That's my indicator of that. And when issues and problems come at us in life, we can handle them with just this mindset that says, you know what? God's with me. It's going to be okay. And rather than getting into fear or stress or worry, we can have that supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, because we understand that God's with us. Even though issues or problems or whatever may be coming at you, you can still have that supernatural peace. And then how is your level of joy? Just supernatural. God's given you his joy. How is your level of just supernatural joy flowing in your life over the last 24 hours? And I like to think of joy as my indicator that I'm living in the present moment and I'm living aware of God's presence with me in the present moment. When I get dwelling on the past, worried about the future, often it steals our joy. We start envisioning worst case scenarios and all these types of things. And so what I want to do is just the most powerful tool I believe that we have for reprogramming our emotions is our imagination. And just taking a minute here, we're gonna just imagine something real quick here. We've been released from the darkness. We're transferred into the light. Ephesians 2:6 says, now we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And you're just gonna imagine you're sitting at God's right hand. You are one with Jesus. Often when we lose that peace, it's this idea we've been separated. There's some separation in our relationships, some separation from God's plan for our life. There's some separation happening. We're wavering back and forth between two options and things like that. And so we're just seated. We're seated next to him at his right hand. And just feel that peace that's there. Feel that joy that's there in his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And I want to take that feeling, and I want you to take that into your day. Take that feeling and take it into your day today. God's with you. He's there with you. He's there with you in the present moment. He's there to help you. He loves you. And taking that into your day so that when the things of the day, the troubles of the day come up, you've already got that positioning established in our hearts and in our minds, in our imaginations. And I believe you'll see a shift in how you show up in your life. I believe you'll see a shift. And then another question. What's knocking you out? Is there something coming at you in your life that's knocking you out of peace and joy? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's financial pressures, time pressure, health issues. What's causing you to lose your peace and your joy? And you can just bring those areas to God. Just a very simple prayer that says, Father, thank you that you are with me. Thank you that you are more than enough. Forgive me for getting into stress and worry or whatever it was over this issue. I trust you. Thank you that you are more than enough. And help me respond to this with your peace and your joy and your love and your goodness just flowing through me in those areas. Help me to cultivate it at a higher level. I believe if you'll pray that very simple prayer, you'll see a shift starting today. Doesn't mean the things on the outside are going to change, but you'll have a shift on the inside in the way you react and respond to those things. So then, what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what are the things that you know to do? Might be some administrative things, some things around the house you need to do, some errands you need to run, some things you need to do for work. But then what are the things we're going to talk about today? Desires. What are the things that you desire to do? Jesus says, here I am. I've come, O Lord, to do your will. I desire to do your will. What are those things that you desire? What are the good things that you desire to do, that you desire to walk in, that God put on the inside of you? What are those things? What's one step you could take forward in that direction today? I believe that's one of the biggest places that prayer comes in. I think some of the most effective prayers we can pray. Jesus says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. So there's some things we're supposed to be desiring. We often talk about, people think of desires as all bad, but there's some things we're supposed to be desiring. We're supposed to be desiring to do God's will and plan and purposes in our life. I believe he wrote a book about our lives. And we want to desire to do what he wrote about us. He's given us purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time ever began. Some of the greatest prayers you can ever pray are, God, I desire to do your will. Is this something you wrote about me? Is this something you have planned for me in my life? Because I desire to do your will. And we're going to see a progression here today. What happens when we walk out this path of desire? So our final question. God, what's the most important thing you're teaching me or showing me or you want me to get over the last 24 hours? If you'll just take a second, if you need to pause the recording, you can, just to get still and to listen for his voice. His voice is leading you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from all restriction, as Job chapter 36. And it's his voice that leads us along that path. I think if you'll get into this habit of just day by day listening recording, writing down. We talk about often the importance of recording your journey as God's teaching you these things. Remember, our goal in life, in the Abundant Life Blueprint, our goal in life is to make other people great. And one of the greatest ways you can begin to walk out that journey is just start to record your journey. Think about the Israelites on their journey to the promised land. God had them record milestones and markers, and Moses is writing about the journey all along the path. Recording your journey, because someday those lessons of things you're learning, things you're going through, steps of faith that you're taking are going to be valuable to some other people. And as you go on this process, God takes us through this path of making us fruitful, multiplying us into other people, and increasing us greatly. Make sure you record your journey along the way. Write it down, record it on your phone with audio, whatever you got to do to get the journey recorded so that you could use it to help to teach and train some other people at some point. Even if you just pass it on to your kids or grandchildren one day, that would be a great thing. So let's talk about this idea of desires. A few weeks ago, I was reading in the book of Romans, I believe it was, and I forget the exact passages off the top of my head right now. But it was talking about this, just this path of progression, about how sin, desires give birth to sin, sin gives birth to death, but grace leads to this path of life. Grace and righteousness lead to this path of life. So we're looking at two different paths here. And then I came across James chapter 1 just yesterday. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. It says, when we are tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So God doesn't tempt any of us. In fact, he's always trying to help us have a way out of temptation. Just one thing I want to touch on real quick. In the Lord's Prayer, there's a passage in there that often people pray it as, don't lead us into temptation. God's not leading you into temptation. That verse says, don't let us be led into temptation, is what it says. Then it says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. It's our own evil desires that entice us, it says. And then after desire has conceived, so think of desire like a seed. God's word is like a seed. This is the opposite path of God's word growing and multiplying in our life. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So when the desire has conceived, the evil desire, it gives birth to sin. And when it's full grown, it gives birth to death. So notice the path. Desire conceives, the seed gets planted in us of evil desires. Then when the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when that sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to death. So that's the path of evil desires. We get these evil desires for doing things that are not good, that are not on God's plan and purpose for our life. It gives birth to sin. And then when it's full grown, gives birth to death. What is death? Death is separation from God. When God told Adam and Eve, when you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. They didn't die physically right away, but they were separated from God. So the path is desire conceives, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. It's interesting. You got two births there. You have a second birth happening. So God's path. And I wrote this in my journal last night. These are some of the things I've been just thinking about last night. That grace, when God gives us grace, it changes our hearts. And it causes us, his grace makes us righteous. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, this is Romans chapter 5. Those that receive the gift, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. So grace makes us righteous first. Grace makes us righteous. Grace, because of grace, we get this righteousness that's found in Jesus, and we're in right standing with God. But grace also changes our hearts and causes us to have the desire to do what's right and best in God's eyes. Grace changes our hearts and gives us good desires, where we say like Jesus, here I am, I've come to do your will. I desire to do your will in my life, God. I desire to do good. I have good desires now. And when those good desires are conceived on the inside of us, what happens? They give birth to good. They give birth to the opposite of sin now. They give birth to the opposite of sin. They give birth to obedience. They give birth to the opposite of sin, to obedience and doing good. And when that good, when that obedience is fully formed, we said the path of evil desires. Evil desires are conceived. They give birth to sin. And when that sin is fully formed, it gives birth to death. The opposite path, grace, makes us righteous. And it gives birth to us doing right and doing good. And changes our desires, gives us this good desire to do what's right and best in God's eyes. And then it gives birth to obedience, to taking steps, to doing the things that we know to do. And then when that's fully formed, it gives birth to life. You could say eternal life. It gives birth to abundant life. I think that's the path in the opposite direction. So grace, God's grace stirs up these good desires. It gives us the willingness and the wanting to do the right things on the inside. It's grace that changes our hearts. I believe it's Titus. It says that grace teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Notice grace, not rules and laws. The Bible, it says in Romans, I believe, says that the law stirs up our evil desires. When you give people rules and laws, it stirs up their evil desires. I was just listening to something the other day. I was talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. I have no idea if this is true or not, but it sounds like it probably is, because it says Adam was alive for 8 hours when God gave him the rule, don't eat from the tree. And then 1 hour later is when they ate. And I was just listening to a story the other day of a guy. He said he gave this rule to his daughter. Hey, she's starting to drive a car, and nobody else is allowed to drive the car. And he said an hour later, he sees her driving down the road and a boy is driving her car and she's in the passenger seat. So this law, when we have rules and laws, it stirs up this evil desire, it seems. But it's grace that stirs up good desires. Grace stirs up our desire to do right. And that desire to do right leads to walking it out, leads to the opposite of sin, leads to obedience and doing the things that we know to do. And when that is fully formed, that gives birth to life. That gives birth to life, to eternal life, to abundant life, to whatever you want to call it. That seems to be the opposite path. And so as we take communion today, it's just this opportunity to meditate on grace, the power that it has to change our hearts. I believe there's a passage of scripture that says, you know, we will no more go on sinning because we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And grace teaches us and trains us to do right. Our hearts are strengthened by grace. Our hearts are strengthened, they're changed, they're softened by grace, giving us the desire to do what's right. And so God has given us this grace. Like I said, our goal in life is to make other people great. And part of that is learning to give that same grace to ourselves, taking the pressure off of ourselves, giving that same grace to ourselves, letting it flow through to other people, that we give them the same grace God has given us. Because it's only when we give other people grace that it causes them to have the desire to do right as well. Grace softens their heart. That grace that God has given us can flow through us to other people. And that's the path of how we make other people great. As we receive this grace from God, and it begins to flow through us as we give grace to ourselves. And we give that same grace to other people, and it gives them the desire to do right as well. We're going to take communion here. As we do this today, we're just going to, I think today, just receiving this grace of God that changes our hearts. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Just receiving this today, just with awe and reverence for God, for what he and Jesus have done for us, and this truly gift of grace. Let's do this today. I believe it's Romans 5:21. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. A big part of taking communion is we can be receiving these promises and making them active and relevant in our lives. Today, We're going to be receiving that promise. Right now, in the present moment today, we're going to believe we receive it the moment we break this bread and take this juice today. And from this point on, it's going to be different. This grace is going to start working and stirring us on the inside, giving us the desire to do what's right and best in God's eyes. It's going to start stirring and working in us on a whole new level. It's going to continue to just grow and grow. And it's going to what? It's going to give birth to doing good, to doing right, to obedience. And then it's going to give, when it's fully formed, it's going to give birth to life. Eternal life, abundant life. What is life? Life is being connected to God, a life fully connected and one with God again. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said this very simple thing. Take it. Take it. Receive this. Receive what? The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. We can be right with God through Jesus' sacrifice. Every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And his death was a big deal. Why? Because in the case of a will or an estate plan, you have to prove somebody's death to activate all of the inheritance and estate planning and the will and all these types of things. You have to prove somebody's death to activate that. Every time we do this, we're proclaiming his death, that this gift of grace and his righteousness are active and available in our life. Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." So as we take the cup today, this is going to be an activation. We've got this new covenant of God, the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, giving birth to good desires, giving birth to walking out the things that we know to do, giving birth to life, the second birth of life, a life connected to God. Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. Now it's simply about walking it out, keeping our eyes fixed on God. He's got steadfast, unfailing love for you. His love never fails. If he gave us Jesus, how will he not freely give us all things? And so now, what is it that you desire to do? What are those good desires stirring on the inside of you? What is it that you know to do that God wrote in your book? And one of the most powerful uses of prayer is just praying, asking God, is this what you wrote about me in my life? Is this part of your plan for my life? Because I desire to do your will. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Because I can learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint. You can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, to learn more about that there.